All right. We're going to get our Hyatt on. We're going to talk a little soccer and your Astros. All of that. Let's do it. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on.
On.
For a Thursday.
Yep.
Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Zhong Li, the bleeping master, back in studio keeping us on air. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Zhong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And today, it doesn't do you any good to go to the live stream because we're not in studio. We are at the Hyatt Regency.
And it won't do you any good to call that number to talk to us.
Exactly, because
we won't answer it.
We'll answer it, but we're not going to put you on.
Oh, no.
Are they down 6-4 now?
Is
that the score? Yeah, your Astros had a 4-0 lead. They're now down 6-4 in the top of the eighth.
Bullpen woes, we'll call it. Although, I mean, wasn't all the bullpen. Chuck Morton kind of blew it to begin with, and then he didn't even get through five innings. But I think a lot of credit should go to the A's, who they worked so many full counts, and they fouled so many pitches off in full counts. Like, they make pitchers work, man. And they did it to McCullers last night. They did it today. That's a pretty good team.
Yeah, they're winning the AL West now.
I don't think that. But
yeah,
man,
you got to do that instant panic thing.
They're definitely
the Astros aren't going to win the division.
They're definitely much improved,
playing really good baseball right now too. But
I think they started out too poorly. But I do think that
they can make a run at that second wild card. They're not that far out of that. And
I mean, they're still like 9 games behind the Mariners.
But that's doable. We've seen that made up over the second half of the season.
But that's a...
But they're also playing at a ridiculous rate right now, which I don't think they can sustain.
They can't. Well, here's the deal, though. The Mariners they continue to gain ground on the Astros. I mean, especially if they lose 3 out of 4 here to Oakland, the Mariners could be 2 games down by the end of the night. And then it's like, dude, imagine that the Astros... I mean, it's not unconceivable that the Astros don't win the division.
Yeah, I'm not going there yet. I still think they're the best team. And,
well, they are the best team, but the best team doesn't always win the division.
Yeah, I don't think the Mariners can sustain what they're doing either over the whole season. I think they're a good team, but I don't think they're not a 103-win team.
Everybody said, oh, wait, when they start playing the Yankees and Red Sox, they'll fall back down to earth, but then they didn't. At some point we got to go, you know what, maybe they're better than we thought they were.
No, I think they're good, but I don't think they're as good as the Astros. I'm not even – going to start worrying about that until
all right.
You can ask me that question August.
Okay.
If they're still
I had to reserve all baseball questions until July, and now it's here.
Well, as far as blowing the
wait till August.
As far as it blowing the division, come on. I mean, I was kidding. you can't take that seriously. I put the sarcasm emoji in front of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, you'd like them to pull this one out today. You'd at least like to get a split with these guys. But, I just think they've got some players that need the all-star break right now. They're just kind of crying for it. And once they get there, get a little time off, they'll be fine. Get Correa back. Of course, you went last night, huh? How was that?
I did. It was so crowded because it was ring night, which I didn't realize until I got to my cousin's house, and she's who I went with, and she was like, yeah, I don't want to show up until, like, the third inning. And I said, okay. Why? Because it's ring night, and last ring night there were lines, like, all the way around the building. I guess it was absurd.
Yeah, well, and even getting there in the third inning, you probably had to wait a little bit to get in. Well, you couldn't
we
get did. There.
We walked right in, actually.
You couldn't have gotten there before the third anyway, right?
No. I mean, I could have maybe got there around the second. We stayed at her house and drank a beer before we went. I mean, there were people who walked in, showed their tickets, got their rings, and then walked back to their car and left. Like, as we were walking into the stadium, there were people walking back with their rings. Just
that's pretty pathetic.
Okay, we got what we came for. But it was
of course,
so,
it wasn't like the game was very good.
No, and it was so packed. And it was I think, 4-0 when we got there. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if the Astros are trying to save money now that they've paid Jose Altuve, but the air conditioner was not great last night. It was super hot in that building.
Yeah, I the game I went to a couple weeks ago was like that.
It's like, man, I get that it's a big building and all, but you got that roof. You gotta crank it up, right?
Yeah, I don't want to dog on them too much because I'm glad the games are drawing a whole bunch of fans now, but the experience right now is not very good there.
I don't want to be sweaty.
Yeah,
at the game.
It was when
if
we
I
were
to be sweaty at a game. I'd go to Arlington.
It was too hot when we were there. It was too crowded. It was the concourse is just not built for that many people, and when they're all wandering around outside, you just can't even get around the place.
Well, that's the only place I've sat in the last couple of years is in the club level. And it's I don't have to deal with that. But
yeah, you don't have to on that level, but on the first level you do,
yeah.
And up top you do, and it's just it you know, and that's just the price of success. But you know, I kind of miss being able to sit wherever I want.
Right.
But somebody says it was hotter than hell Friday night too. Yeah, that's something they gotta work on. You just turn the air conditioner up, man. You guys are making enough money.
Yeah.
What's up with that? What else is going on?
Not much. It was today was my first day fully back to the gym. Like, went to my personal trainer and then did jiu-jitsu after. And I'm really old and tired.
I know how you feel. Today's the first day I've felt well enough to go to the gym, and it was not good.
Yeah, so that's I'm feeling it a little bit, but I'm excited to be out and about. My in-laws get into town. My mother-in-law's been in town. My brother and sister-in-law get into town tonight. So I mean, it's going to be a my house is it's a zoo right now. It's going to be a zoo, and my wife even warned me on the way out the door. She was like, "Just remember, when you get here, there's going to be two more kids than there were when you left." And I'm like, oh, no.
You can't find something to do until they're all asleep?
I mean, maybe. But, you know, I'm saving that for – I mean, they're staying for like 10 days.
Oh, man.
So I got to save that.
Well, I'm glad I'm not going to be around you next week.
I got to save that for when, you know, like later on in the trip when I'm just like, I can't take it anymore. I got to hide somewhere.
So like 2 days in.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, this is the first day I've – started feeling normal again, so I said I'm going to go to the gym, and I got about halfway through, and that's about all I could do because I was still too weak, and now I'm just like, all right, where's my energy?
I see you're looking like a fancy today.
Well, I just wore a decent shirt.
I know.
This is a decent place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You should show a little more respect. I don't know if you did a sports map video or something.
No, I didn't. I'm too fat to be doing videos.
I mean,
right
look
now.
At our promotions people. They look like schlubs.
But
I just showed up. I'm doing okay.
But we pay them 30 cents an hour. They can't afford to wear anything.
And by the way, they did this weird thing today. Normally, the promo crew lines up like, you know, 10, 15 feet away from us. I showed up, and their table's like pushed up against ours. Like, I've got to share their breath. It's very awkward. I don't know what's going on with this this crew. But
I just think they want to be close to you, AJ.
Give me a little bit of space.
That's all it is. He just wanted to reach his hand over and touch you. That's all. But, no, I think when they got here, because when I got here, it was packed. There's some kind of convention that everybody's leaving now. And this whole area was just full of people when I got here. So that's probably what it was. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Not that they were hoping to molest you.
Right.
But that it was just there were a lot of people here.
Well, I mean, all those people are gone now. Move your table. I asked them to move it, and it's still within arm's reach. I can still reach it.
That's still
it.
Too
it's
close.
Too close.
Yeah, yeah, that's like, not how we're used to having this set up here.
It's uncomfortable.
So, yeah,
it's because there's no girls here in charge.
All right, and we don't have Voldemort.
No.
Voldemort usually takes care of these
guys. Yeah, he would have let him know.
Yeah.
Ninja doesn't even let him know, hey, it's a bad idea for you guys to sit up right there. Yeah. He doesn't care.
He just hides in the corner over there. Yeah.
Normally, he hangs out with the promo crew, but because there's no chicks here today, he's just, like, avoiding everybody.
Yeah, that's his move.
If there's a promo chick, he's going to be over there talking to her. No promo chicks. I'm just going to hang out here in the corner, maybe fall asleep for a little while.
That's kind of his move.
Yeah.
He doesn't deny it either.
No.
I mean, he just comes in. Okay, if there's promo girls here, I'll go talk to them. If not, I'm over here out of the way. And he's consistent. I appreciate his consistency. One of these days, I'm going to be tempted to pull one of these things out just to make him work and have him come over in a panic. Like,
no,
what's going on?
Yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah, we'll save that for somebody else's show. 713-780-3776 if you wish to text the show.
Yeah, Yuli put it off the small of the pitcher's back. That's never comfortable.
Ow.
Yeah.
So one out, bottom of the eighth, 6-4 in favor of the Athletics. So Brian Ching will be here later. You can come and meet him. I think he's here from 5:30 to 6:30.
You have a lot of questions ready for him?
Yeah, I'm going to ask him about his new bar.
Okay.
Because I have not been able to I have not been able to get in there yet.
You know what I want to ask him?
What's that?
If he thinks – I mean, how long has the Dynamo been in Houston now?
That's a good question.
I mean, I'll Google that. But then I'll ask him if he thinks that whatever it's been, 8 years or 9 years, I'm not sure, if he thinks that it's a success now this far in, like if it's met expectations. Like if I said this is where the Dynamo are going to be 10 years in.
Right.
Is this good enough? Because I'm curious about that. I don't try to pretend like I know a lot about soccer.
Yeah.
But now, I do know that, like.
But see, they hit the ground running when he was here right off the bat with two titles, and he was a big part of those. And I think that got a lot of attention. But, yeah, I think it's a different beast now. And I think that's a good question to ask.
Thanks, Fred. I thought you'd agree.
I just want to know about his new place because I live all of 5 minutes away, and I've walked by it three times and wanted to go in, and it's been so packed every time that I'm like, man, I'm not doing that. Jermaine says, a.k.a. sorority convention, been in town all week, lots of beautiful black women.
Okay.
That's a good thing to know, Jermaine. Are they still here is the question. All right. We're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at the Hyatt Regency in the Galleria. And looks like we have a little error from Jose Altuve here.
Ugh.
First and third, and nobody out in the top of the ninth.
This game's a little melty.
Yeah, I think this one's going the wrong way.
Yep.
But, well. It was a good run.
You can't win them all.
Now you should at least split this series, though.
I don't know, man. Like I said, Oakland's been playing
well. They're playing at a real high level, so.
I think forget what I heard last night. It's like 28 of their last 35 or something like that. That's pretty crazy.
I'm not good at math, but that seems pretty good to me.
That's good.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. So I've got some what I thought was an interesting ranking from ESPN that I wanted to bounce off you.
Okay.
Because what they did, they ranked the best receiver, tight end, and running back packages 32-1.
Okay.
And I'd be kind of curious where you would think your Houston Texans would rank in this thing, because I could guarantee you they're higher in it than I thought they would be. Because obviously DeAndre Hopkins, he's a top 10 receiver. Lamar Miller, eh. Dante Foreman, I don't think you can count on. Ryan Griffin, eh.
Oh, it's not just like the number one wide receiver and the number one running back.
It's all the weapons for the quarterback.
Okay.
So where do you think they would rank? And I'm already giving you a hint, they're too high.
Oh, I'll tell you where I would probably rank them is like around 18 to 20.
Yeah, I think that'd be a fair place to put them because.
And I mean, if Watson has a full year like he did, you know, the six games last year, and I think you can bump that up a little, but for right now, I'd say 20 is probably 18 to 20 is fair.
Yeah, I think if he's healthy and Fuller has the kind of stretch he had while Watson was playing, then I think their number's higher. But they have them at number 12.
Ooh.
Right behind the New Orleans Saints.
Who's number one on this list? Is it the Steelers?
Number one on this list is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, God, that's dumb.
Again, that quarterback notwithstanding in this. This is
It doesn't count quarterback?
No, it doesn't count quarterback.
Oh, okay. I thought it was – see, now I –
No, that's what I was saying. This is your offensive weapons, not including the quarterback.
Okay. I thought it was all, like, including the quarterback.
I would still think Pittsburgh would be up there, but nope. Number one is your Chiefs.
Okay. In that case, I've got to go back to the Texans for a second. I think 18 to 20 might be generous at that point. Like, it might be 20-22-ish. Because I was thinking about Watson in that factor.
Well, if you're factoring in Watson, then I think I have no problem with them being 12. But without him, I mean, if you're just talking about those guys.
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, there's one great player.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of guys.
Yeah. And, so the number one group is the Chiefs. Number two is the Giants.
And we'll see what their running back is.
Yeah, it depends on what Saquon Barkley is.
There's a lot of assumption there.
I also think they believe Sterling Shepard's going to have a big year.
Yeah, I would think Atlanta and Pittsburgh would probably
three,
be.
Atlanta's three and Pittsburgh's four.
I think Atlanta and Pittsburgh might have been one and two for me.
I think so, too. They have the Vikings five. I might have those. I might have them up there as well. And Rams six. Makes sense with Gurley and.
Yeah, their receivers are wishy-washy, but.
Yeah, Eagles 7.
Okay.
Patriots 8.
Well, I think that's too high.
Well, you got Gronk.
I guess you count Gronk.
You got Edelman back, theoretically, well, at some point.
Right.
And then I think Jordan Matthews and Cordarrelle Patterson could turn out to be good players for him. I mean, Brady tends to make guys like that better.
Yeah.
So, maybe. And then I love the fact that they drafted Sony Michel. I mean, I think he's going to be really good. So I could see that. They have the Bears at 9, which
– that might be high too. I mean, like I said, they brought in one receiver who's coming off an injury. Okay.
Chargers 10.
Oh. Yeah, I disagree with that too, I think.
Yeah. Travis Benjamin, Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I mean.
Hunter Henry.
You got Melvin Gordon kind of at the end of his rope, it seems.
Yeah. So, it's a strange list. Now, it's one of those where he has like 12 disclaimers right at the top.
Okay.
So, that should tell you a little bit.
I'm curious what he actually says about the Texans. Like, what is he?
He says.
What's his explanation for why they're 12?
In the fever dream that was Deshaun Watson's 6 starts for the Texans, his weapons unfurled into a terrifying hydra. The Texans ranked 3rd in offensive win probability and added per game from weeks 2 to 8 and 30th from then on, which is both a credit to what DeAndre Hopkins could do with the right quarterback. It says Hopkins has a reasonable case given his quarterback play for being the best wide receiver in the league at the moment.
Oh, stop it.
After that, the Texans don't have a second star. Will Fuller has been wildly inconsistent, and he won't score 7 touchdowns in 4 games again as he did last season. Lamar Miller has lacked explosion since joining Houston in free agency. Backup Deontay Foreman might have taken over a larger share, but an Achilles injury might delay that until 2019. Basically, it's all negative.
Yeah, things aren't great. There's DeAndre Hopkins, and then it's a.
But they're still 12th. I think they're giving DeAndre. If he's thinking DeAndre Hopkins and making a case for him being the best receiver in football, that's really it.
And they're doing this saying, like, with the right quarterback. But then I feel like they're almost taking into account the quarterback in this conversation, which is why.
But those guys were better with him.
Right. But, I think of the Patriots offense as arguably the best in the league. But if you take Tom Brady away from that, like, I don't know how good Julian Edelman is, really. Like, if he doesn't have Tom Brady. I'm pretty sure Gronk is a stud either way, but everybody else, I'm like, those are just a bunch of guys. Like, we saw Danny Amendola when he left, what he turned into a pumpkin. I mean, most of those guys who leave, they're never that good. So I think he's trying to not factor in quarterback, but it's hard not to.
Right.
Because if you say, we saw that same offense last year with Tom Savage, and those guys were horrible.
Yeah, well. And it really wasn't the same offense with Savage.
Right.
It was so conservative.
But it's the same players.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say. I just think 12 is – that's
– it seems high to me.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number. Yeah, I think this list kind of sucks.
Is Deshaun Watson, like, is he the most intriguing player in football this year?
I think so.
I know, because I guess Andrew Luck's in that conversation too. Like,
right.
Like, there's
but
the
we,
most.
We know what Andrew Luck has been.
Right, but I think there's intrigue because people want to see if he can be that again.
Yeah.
Like, if he is, people assume that the Colts are suddenly a playoff team. But I think he and Watson are the two guys that, to me, and maybe it's because I'm here, but I'm the most interested in seeing how their seasons play out, because we saw such promise from Watson last year. And if he's – I still don't think he's able to, you know – I think anybody who's like, oh, we'll just take those six games and multiply it by three or you know, 2.5, and that's what he's going to be. I don't think that's the case.
There's going to be a couple of bad games in there.
But I'm curious to see them. I'm curious to see how he comes in his second year and how the league reacts to him.
Yeah.
And I said this last year going into the season about Dak Prescott. As great as Dak Prescott was year one, quarterbacks year two, it's a struggle. Because guys have seen you now. They know what you can do. They're going to take your first thing away, and then you got to figure something else out. And Dak struggled this year. And it's not to say that Dak is now a crappy quarterback. I would expect Dak to be better this year than he was year two. But typically year two is a struggle year for young quarterbacks. I'm curious if that six games was enough for him to feel that regression, or if it's going to maybe be – he may end up being a year three regress guy because he didn't really have a full year one.
Or he may be good enough that he doesn't regress. Those are all legitimate possibilities.
But usually, how many guys have ever done that? Tom Brady?
Well, Brady was kind of different, though, because he sort of came in as a backup, and you know, he had a different path to it. But Carson Wentz was pretty good last year in his second year.
Yeah.
I mean, Jared Goff was pretty damn good in his second year.
Yeah, but they neither one of those guys were anything special in their first year.
No, but you saw flashes with them.
But you see guys either build up to what they're going to be.
You didn't see any flashes with Goff, let's be honest. We did with
Wentz. Year one, he was a disaster.
No.
But that's typically how quarterbacks work. They either show up and they struggle for a little while and then they're great. Peyton Manning is a good example of that. Or they're really great when they first get there. And then there's like a little bit of falling off, and then they can come back to be great again. Rarely does someone just show up and like, hey, I'm like a top 10 quarterback in the league, and I'm just going to stay that way forever. Usually there's at least some dip in there somewhere, either year one or two.
Andrew Luck kind of did that until he got hurt.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it does happen. And, yeah, I look at his body of work as much in college as – I do from his six games there and what he was able to do against an NFL defense and against Alabama twice. I think the guy's going to be really good, but you never know until he does it for a while. Until he gets out there and does it on a consistent basis. Do I think he's as good as he was for those six games? No, because if he's that, he's a Hall of Famer.
Right, that's almost impossible.
And I mean, he played fantastic. But
he might be the best quarterback of all time if that's what he is regularly.
And that's not going to happen on a regular basis, but if it happens on a consistent basis, then he's going to be damn good. So I know where the Panthers are on that list. I think they're like 17. Cowboys fans won't like that list at all. I think they've got them at like 29 or something.
That's weird. I mean, they've got the best running back in the league,
probably. Cowboys at 30.
Oh, boy.
They have the Jets at 32. Which,
oh, that's fair.
Yeah. Dolphins at 31.
That's fair, too. Where's Buffalo?
29.
Okay.
Seattle.
Assuming LeSean McCoy's dead?
Well, who knows what's going to happen with that. Seattle 28, which that's
actually kind of fair, too.
Yeah, Colts at 27. Yeah.
Well, I talk all the time about the Colts being one of the most talentless teams out there, but
2-1 says, Fred, I got a class in Edo tonight. Any good spots you recommend to grab a good quick dinner and a beer? For a quick dinner and a beer tonight, good steak night at around the corner, and Rodeo Goat's always good for burgers. So usually not that crowded at either place. Well, actually, both of them get kind of crowded. Like, everything's crowded down there.
Everything's crowded.
All right, I hear music. Let's take a break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
This This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live from the Hyatt Regency in the Galleria. I finally decided what that art thing is on the wall.
You don't know what that thing is.
That is a Klingon bird of prey as it's decloaking.
You might be right. I don't know anything about Klingons.
See, there you go.
So I can't really argue.
Well, if you've seen some Star Trek, you understand.
I don't like Star Trek. I've watched one episode, and I don't like it. I don't like it.
Well, it's from the movie, actually.
I don't like those movies either.
Average Joe says, don't see the Dak-Watson comparisons. Dak was great in his rookie year, to being very dependent on the run game. Zeke being out last year showed his true ability. Watson did it all with limited talent. I think that's fair, but I also think that
Watson also had one of the best wide receivers in the league, and Dak didn't.
Yeah,
Dak had one of the most overrated wide receivers in the league.
Yeah, very unmotivated Dez Bryant. So,
yeah.
But I do think I like Watson's long-term potential more. So
I do too.
2-1 asks, Fred, do you know when your drinking TV show will be released in the podcast you and AJ did drunk? The podcast is on Podcast Arena. It's called Whiskey Neat. The TV show, I think, is really close. I'll check with our producer and find out. But I hope to get it up before I'm gone to Canada. But we'll see. 713-780-ESPN. Did you see stuff going on with Marcus Smart and the Celtics?
No.
Apparently, he's got his feelings hurt.
Okay.
He feels insulted because apparently he feels like there's a lack of respect from the front office.
Okay.
They haven't reached out to him enough as a restricted free agent.
Marcus Smart, I'm trying to think of where I rank Marcus Smart on the importance of players for the Celtics. Do you have a general idea where you?
It's hard to say.
Measure him.
It's hard to say. Yeah, I don't know.
Kyrie,
a little more important.
Jason Tatum,
more important.
Jaylen Brown.
Okay.
Gordon Hayward.
If he has a leg, yes.
Al Horford.
Yes.
Aaron Baines, maybe even? Like, he's at least a starter. Marcus Smart's not even a starter for that team.
He feels hurt and disgusted by the lack of communication this summer.
I don't know what he wants.
He just wants to be loved. Is that so wrong?
Okay, well, go get loved.
some of these guys.
Something tells me he's got a lot of what Capella's got going. Like, they are unfortunate to be restricted free agents this offseason where no one's spending big money except for the Lakers who got LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, had these guys become restricted free agents 2 years ago, like when Ryan Anderson got his money,
right,
and like everybody could get paid, it didn't matter if you were good or not.
Yeah,
you were gonna,
when they boosted the cap so much that everybody was going to get paid.
No, it's like, oh, suddenly Chandler Parsons looks like we should give him the moon. I mean, it was one of those years where everybody got paid. This is one of those years where really nobody's getting paid. And it's unfortunate because I'm not saying that Clint Capella and Marcus Smart don't deserve it. They deserve it more than Ryan Anderson does, but it's just it's their bad break.
Yeah, and I, you know, if it's true what the Rockets offered Capella, it seemed like a fair deal to me.
It really does. Here's what I would do if I were Clint Capella. If I believed that I wasn't getting what I'm worth, I would play on a 1 year deal. I would say, listen, I'll sign a 1 year contract, or you know, and we'll.
Then be unrestricted next year.
And we'll talk about it after this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing preventing him from doing that.
No. And I think I'm always about guys who like to
prove it.
To prove it, because it generally, if he does, he has the same kind of season, somebody else will pay him.
Yeah, it's weird to think about, I mean, him passing up on that offer, because essentially this was his first full season in the league. Like, this was his first year as like a full-time player. And now all of a sudden you're getting that offer, and you're like, no, I'm going to wait. Really?
Yeah. And I still think he's a system fit.
There's no question he's a system fit.
And I don't think he's
going
to be nearly as effective on another team.
He's their, I mean, he's their Blake Griffin right now. I mean, that's basically what he is. And we saw when Blake Griffin had Chris Paul around, Blake Griffin was a hell of a force. We haven't heard much from Blake Griffin lately. Like, there's...
Well, going to Detroit's like dying.
That's true. That's true. But that's a... Yeah, that's I'm with you that he's a pretty obvious system guy. He's pretty limited in what he can do offensively. Like he doesn't have
he
much.
He can't post up.
No. So
he scores on pick and rolls, and
he scores
on alley-oops. Yeah. I mean that's it. That's what he does, and he gets a lot of those in this offense.
So I don't know. I'm of the belief that if he really wants to get paid, he should play on a 1-year deal. Have another big season, maybe even a bigger season than he did last year, and then hit the jackpot as an unrestricted free agent.
And let somebody else overpay for him.
Yep.
Would be what I would do.
But I understand where he's at, that he doesn't want to sign a deal for 5 years that he feels is undervaluing him. Not that I think the Rockets' offer was undervaluing him, but I'm just saying if he believes he's being undervalued, then just play on a 1-year deal and get yours next year.
A lot of guys are afraid to do that, though, especially when you've had one good year.
They should be.
Yeah.
Because, let's face it.
Well, how many Jeremy Lins have we seen?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Clint Capella could show up tomorrow or next season and be a nobody. And, you know, now all of a sudden you're stuck with him for 5 years. So, or else he does it on a 1-year deal and he shows up next year and is a nobody. And now who's paying you long term? Nobody.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Hey, I know you haven't been paying any attention to the World Series of Poker, but did you see what happened in the last hand last night that got it down to nine? I'd be curious what you would have done.
Okay.
There's.
Do we have time to go through the scenario here?
Well, it's...
Or do you want to wait till the next segment?
Let's do the next segment because it's going to take a few minutes to spell out the scenario for you.
Okay.
But I will set it up is that you have a guy who's got... 56 million in chips. You've got another guy who's around 48, and then you've got a guy who's got 24.
Okay.
So we'll start with that.
All right.
713-780-ESPN. If you're in the area, come on out to the Hyatt Regency in the Galleria and hang out. Say hello to Brian Ching. He'll be here in a little bit. So if soccer fans, you get a chance to meet him. And you can always meet the promo crew.
That's right. I got to tell you guys about Bill Advisor, and we've been talking about him for a while. If you've got a cell phone, you pay for TV, internet, electricity, home and auto insurance, you're probably overpaying for those things. You started off with a great price, an introductory rate, but then after a little while, that rate goes away, and now you're paying a higher bill. You're paying more than the guys who are just signing up with that company. That's not fair. That's not right. Bill Advisor will work directly with your providers. You don't lower your service, just your bill. Week in and week out, they're winning for hundreds of our listeners. Most are saving over $800 a year, many saving thousands per year. They're so confident that they are guaranteeing that you will save at least $300. And if you don't, they'll give you every penny back. That's $12.99, which, you know, when you think about what that adds up to, you're talking about, you know, $150. They guarantee they're going to save you $300. Worst case scenario, you've saved $150. Best case scenario, you could save thousands with that. And that, like Lance Erline, he saved over $2,000 for $12.99 a month. Start saving right now. Text the word "go" to 232323, and your personal bill advisor is going to get to work and start working for you. One more time, text "go" to 232323, or go to billadvisor.com and click Start Saving.
A RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at the Hyatt Regency in the Galleria. Very cool bar here. Great place to have your events. Great place to bring your side piece or your real piece, whichever. Also want to tell you about sportsmap.com. A lot of great stuff on SportsMap today. Joel has a video up on Ken Giles packing his bags, which is fairly entertaining.
Yeah.
John Granato has a piece on how he hopes Pro Football Focus is wrong about how they rank all the Texans players. Dolores Lozano has, talking about Clint Capella, she's got a video on that. Barry has a, his column is on how much he did not like the Brock Lesnar thing at the end of the UFC the other night.
Was he surprised by that?
He just did, not only was surprised, he didn't like it. And he spells out why. And then I haven't written in a while, but I threw something up today on five ways that watching the World Series of Poker can help your game. Just little tips you can get while you're watching and make it a learning experience. So the final table is set, and that will be the next three nights that they'll play it out. But the last hand to get to the final table, I'd be really curious how you would have played this. And
you guys have a pin over there, promo crew? I'm gonna write down the scenario so okay. I can give a valid answer.
I've been thinking about this a lot today about okay. what I would have done, and I
there's
think,
10 people left, right?
There's 10 people, and you're playing down to 9.
Okay.
Now keep in mind, it has been extremely conservative play almost the entire time that when they got down okay. to 10, and it was interesting because the dynamic when there were 5 and 6 at the tables, pretty aggressive, wide range of hands. Once it got down to 10, everybody tightened up.
Okay.
And so this particular hand.
I feel like, I mean, almost anybody's going to do that. As you start to get right. closer to million-dollar paydays,
yeah.
you start to tighten up
should.
A little.
I think we all would. So Nicholas Mannion raises to $1.5 million.
What's his positioning?
He is, I don't remember exactly
what's
what
his stack?
Was. His stack, he's about $48
million. Okay.
So he's the second stack in this. The guy who's the top stack, Antoine Labatt, $56 million. Flat calls the 1.5.
Okay.
And Rich Zhu goes all in for his last $24.7 million.
Ooh. Okay.
Now, the initial raiser, Mannion, who's been extremely tight the entire night,
mm-hmm.
he now goes all in for $48 million. You're Ooh. The third guy that has to make the decision here, and you're holding pocket kings. Are you third in with the kings here?
I think yes.
He made the call, and as it turned out, the first guy who went all in for 24.7 also had pocket kings, and Mannion had pocket aces.
Oh.
And I've thought about this a lot, especially.
Here's why I say yes, because the goal is to get to the 9, obviously.
Right.
Now,
you've got the biggest chip stack, so.
Now he goes from having the biggest stack to.
$8 million. Yeah, he's
to one of the smallest.
Yeah,
he's
all but dead. He's going to have to shove early tonight.
So, but he made it to the 9.
It is the smallest. Yeah,
yeah, that's tough. I think I would have had to make that call.
Well, that's the thing. If you're trying to win the tournament, then I mean, because the guy who won the pot got $76 million. He's now chip leader. So he's at 110. There's a kid from Houston who's playing really well. Who's also over 100 million. And his name's Michael Dyer. I was real impressed by his play last night. He was using his big stack. To collect chips and played really, really well. But this guy goes from $48 million to the chip lead with his aces. Now, with the aces, that's easy. But third one in for basically a stack that's going to take you down to nothing if you lose with the kings.
Yeah, maybe I don't call.
That's the thing. I've come around on this. Now, he didn't have 12 hours to think about it.
Well, he gets plenty of time. I mean, trust me, I've seen some of those hands where the guys will take their time.
I think I'm holding there just because the way the play went all night long, I would have had to put Mannion on. He wouldn't have done that with anything other than aces, I don't think.
Well, here's why, and here's the argument for folding. This Zoo guy goes in 24.7. Mannion calls him. Worst case scenario with their chip stacks, they're just now flipped chip stacks. Like you know, they're both in, and you're still the big stack, and those two guys just flip-flopped. Best case, you're second stack now, and the other guy, you're down to 9.
Right.
So he's gone.
Yeah, but when he shoves, that changes everything because he didn't just call a 24.7. He shoved over the top to isolate.
Right.
So if you're third there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like if I'm the third guy, that I'm looking at the scenarios. Like if I fold this hand – best case, I'm the second stack, and this Zoo guy is out. Worst case, Zoo doubles up, and I still have more chips than him.
And the other guy,
Mannion, is now down to 20-something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think
I think,
some thought, I think maybe I would fold there.
Yeah, and frankly, the more I think about it, the more that I think folding is the right play in that situation. And not because it turned out the way it did, but being the third one in there and knowing that the short stack – now, and like the short stack could have had a much wider range.
Yeah.
At 24.7.
Yeah, because that wouldn't surprise you if he called with jacks or king-queen or something.
But
if Mannion, he's trying to make a move.
But if Mannion's going to risk his entire stack, I mean – You almost have to put him on aces.
Yeah.
And I think
without having seen it, I think that's probably the way I would get it.
At some point, I'd be curious if you go and watch it, what you think. But
here's a question.
I thought at the time, though, when I saw it, and of course, the cards are face up, so.
Let me take it one step deeper for you. Let's say you're the third guy, and instead of pocket kings, you've got pocket aces.
Well, that's.
You call it for sure?
Yeah. At that point, definitely. I still don't like being third in that situation.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's one that I'm not automatically doing it right away, but I think I have to make that call. And Skeletor Jones, who was watching it too, said, you have to fold there because there was a guy with pocket tens in the same hand. He snap folded. He didn't think about it. And again.
Who was acting after the all in shove by Mannion?
No, he was.
Or he was after.
No, he was after the first.
He folded to Zoo's shove.
To Zoo's shove, yeah. And. The thing is, and again, context meaning everything, if you'd watch that, man, there was just no way anybody was going to risk all their chips unless they got one of those premium hands.
Yeah.
And it was, there were guys folding pocket queens post-flop as overpairs. I mean, it was really tight play, and that's why I was real impressed.
Dude, and you see that even, like, when we go to Vegas and we play in these little, five-table tournaments where there's, like, it's 50-some people, and... You know, when you get down to where the money's at, when you're about to be in the money, you'll see people fold pocket queens just to avoid losing any of their chip stack.
Yeah.
And they hope that everybody else kills each other off until they get to the money.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as all that because guys were still getting into flops with them, but you weren't seeing a lot of shoving. And I almost think even at the time I thought if I'm him, and this guy's played so tight, I don't think I can make this call.
Let me ask you one more question. What's the payout for 10th place?
I don't remember exactly, but it's $1 million for ninth.
Okay, so $1 million for ninth. What's the payout going to be for first?
$8 million. That's the argument for, is if you're trying to win the $8 million.
Do you want to win the $8 million? You've got $1 million in hand. That may be a difference maker when you're making that decision. Like, I can make this call and... If the worst case scenario plays out, I'm gonna have $1 million, and if I make some miraculous comeback, I can get to eight. Or you think I want? And obviously, everybody who's playing in this tournament, there's people who care more about the bracelet and being on that list of people who have won it more than the money, even. But if you want to win that tournament, those are the kind of calls I feel like.
Yeah,
I
don't think he thought about all that because it didn't take him long to call. I think he thought, I got pocket kings, I'm making the call here.
Man, that's tough.
Even then, I'm thinking in terms of Zhu shoving early. He was playing very solid poker too. At worst, he's got ace king. At worst, I think, and I don't even know if he'd have gone with that because there were a couple times where guys were just flatting with ace king, to avoid getting into those situations. So I think in retrospect, and Maria Ho, who's been fantastic filling in for Antonio Esfandiari on the broadcast crew, she was talking about, I don't know that you can make that call there. And I think she's right. It was an interesting scenario. It's one of the wildest hands I've ever seen in a tournament like that. And
Dude, imagine how sick you would feel. Not only when you see the one guy flip aces, but then the other guy flips over the other two kings.
Yeah, that's happened to me before. That's a horrible feeling. And
that's when you're hoping card flush comes out.
Yeah, it was actually kings and queens. We both had queens, and it was I had not seen cards the entire tournament. I'm finally getting short, and I got queens, and I shove and get snap called, and then the third guy calls with kings, and you're like, oh,
yeah,
and we just look at each other like, oh well,
been fun,
yeah, but and actually the other guy did run out the flush, but the guy had the king, so. If one of us, so anyway, but I thought it was fun and down to nine and good luck to the kid from Houston. I think, I think he's, I really like the way he played with his big stack, man.
Why didn't we have that kid on today?
He's probably trying to sleep, I'm guessing.
Oh, okay.
He better be.
Maybe we'll have him on
after. Yeah, if he wins, we should track
him. Even if
him
he
down,
doesn't so. Win. I mean, yeah, it's a final table. I'd have that dude on.
Well, he's second in chips, so like I said, he's playing great. But this is one thing that and I kind of wrote about this today. If you're watching, really from the time it got down to about 50, I've been so impressed with the play. There was this girl, I think her name is Kelly Minkin. Second year in a row, she's been the highest female finisher. And even she was just playing damn near perfect poker and got unlucky in a situation where
How far did she get?
I think she finished in the 40s, maybe 50, but she had ace-10 on the button with a short
There's still
stack.
Been no girls at a final table, has there?
Not since Barbara Enright, I think, was the only
Oh,
one.
She did make
but
it?
That was way back in the day. But, yeah, she was just playing really smart, good poker. And a lot of people were. They ran into situations where they, bigger hands got them. And I think it's been a lot of fun to watch. I probably devoted way too much of my life to it this week because I've watched every minute of it and been up half the night doing it. The guy who I think is kind of a snake is John Sint. He's fourth in chips with $37 million. If he can chip up a little bit, I love the way he's playing. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.